Here we go. Well, the angels and the 24 elders worship God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign."
Yes, Jesus is beginning his reign.
Hallelujah.
Here. Hallelujah. And so all the angels are for him to defeat the opposing forces. Now, some of you say, how do you know that we're not going to be involved in this? And I want to take you back just to chapter 9 of Revelation, chapter 9 of Revelation in the 20th verse, and just kind of depart from what we were talking about for just a couple minutes. And here, we're seeing the sixth trumpet and the 200 million men marching on Jerusalem, and the spirits coming out of the ground, and Antichrist taking over. And in the 20th verse, the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues that these angels announced with their trumpets did not repent of the works of their hands so as to not worship demons and the idols of gold and silver. They did not repent of their murders and their sorceries. These men blasphemed God. The rest of mankind who were not killed, they were blaspheming and cursing God. So I know that we are not going to be there, because we're not going to be cursing God. It is this evil and wicked generation on this earth at this present time during these wars and catastrophes.
You know, what I've observed, Barbara, is that people that refuse to repent and they harden their hearts toward God, the worse it gets, the more blasphemous they become.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think about a man who was on that on an airliner. Two 747s came together, and he had been speaking the word since he was a little boy, and God preserved him. And he said, "I looked across the aisle, and I saw the flesh melting off of people,
oh, wow.
And they were cursing God."
Oh.
Instead of crying out to God, they were cursing him,
yes,
in their time of their greatest need.
And we'll be seeing this.
That's what's happening,
yes,
here.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, a profound thing, the angels lifted that man up and took him right out through the roof of the aircraft. And I don't believe he had a scratch. He came out of there, and yet he was right in the midst of great destruction, which also tells me what I believe about Scripture. God does not let his children perish in these things.
No, and it says in Romans 1, around the 8th or 9th verse, that the wrath of God is meant for the unrighteous and
right,
the evil. And so we know the wrath of God that's being poured out here in this last part of Revelation is meant for the evil and wicked.
And you know, there's one portion of Scripture where it says that God laughs. He said he sits in the heavens and laughs at the wicked, the plans of the wicked. He says,
oh,
you know, basically saying, how stupid.
Yeah.
Why don't you catch on here? Why don't you repent and come to me?
Yes. Well, in Revelation 12, it describes the wicked intent of Satan to annihilate Israel. And it talks about Israel as a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. That means the 12 tribes came from Israel here. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And this red dragon, and it says in the fourth verse of chapter 12 of Revelation, his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. So here again, the angels are called stars. And when Lucifer fell, we know that one third of the angels went with him, were swept away with him. And his intent here in the 12th chapter of Revelation is to annihilate Israel and to prevent Jesus' birth. And one third of the stars are fighting with him against Jesus and Israel. Do you know what, Darren? Michael and his angels defeat the dragon. It says here that the devil was not strong enough. Let's see, where does it say here? In verse 8. In verse 7, it says, there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with a dragon, and the dragon and his angels waging war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer any place for them found in heaven, and they were thrown down to the earth. And that's where they've been harassing us ever since. But I'm so blessed to hear that Satan and his angels are not strong enough for Michael and his angels.
No, I think it's interesting. If we went back in our teaching of Daniel 10, Gabriel brought a message to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
But Gabriel said, now I was withstood by the prince, I believe, a prince of Persia.
Yes.
But he said, the only one that came to help me was Michael.
Yes.
Well, here's Michael, this mighty warrior angel. And what we've been trying to tell you all through this study on angels, they're angels among us. I mean, here's one angel and his helpers defeat Satan. Now, so many of you have the idea, well, God and the devil, or God and Satan, are on the same level. and they're just two spirit beings, and we got to see who wins the war. Let me tell you, you need to really get this straight. Satan, when he was Lucifer in heaven, head of praise and worship, was never equal with God. He's a created being.
That's
God
right.
created him.
That's right.
All right, now, when he fell, he was always below Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here he is, an angel. That angel fell, but another angel now here in the book of Revelation comes along with a few of his helpers and defeats him.
That's right. I believe we really give power to the devil here on the earth when we give him, when we put out words that he is too strong for us. I believe that gives him power to wreak havoc in our lives. And I know as I ignore him and as I praise God, there is less attack from him.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I believe so many of you need to change your words and not say I'm being attacked and harassed by the devil as much as I'm having victory over the devil.
Right.
God is giving me the victory over the enemy.
Now, why am I having victory? Let me give it to you. In Genesis, way back in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God gave us dominion over the earth, and he gave us this awesome authority, ability, and power. But in addition to all that, you got to remember that you're made in God's copy. You're made in his image and likeness. That means you can operate like he does. And when it says in Hebrews 1:14, and we gave you that in another message, it's talking about the angels. It says, are they not all ministering servants sent out to render service for those that inherit salvation? That's us.
Oh, praise
so
God.
These are our helpers.
Yes.
So when you think about it, you mean, Darren, I've got all these angels here at my disposal? Absolutely. Have you been using them? Probably not. Are you going to start? We hope so. So here you can send these angels who are mighty in strength, performing the voice of his word. That's Psalm 103:20. And you can give them jobs to do. Be specific. Don't be double-minded. They won't do anything for you if you're double-minded.
That's right.
In other words, you're jerking them around. You got one plan one day and another plan the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Make up your mind and give them something to do. And they will go out in their mighty strength, and they'll get the job done for you. They are standing by to serve you.
That's
Ooh,
right.
That's good news.
Oh, praise God, like we've seen here in Revelation. And we're going to see here in Revelation 14, there is an angel over the power of fire. There are angels over the power of destroying. There are angels who are over worship and praise. There's an angel in Revelation 14 here that says he has an eternal gospel to all those on the earth. This is an angel whose primary purpose, I don't have a specific verse.
It's all right. While you're looking for that, let me just talk about this for a minute. You remember the story in the Old Testament where the prophet called down fire and it ate up the enemy? And I think he did it more than one time. Who do you think delivered that fire? Well, I believe it was this angel here that has control of fire that can come out of the supernatural into the natural and toast a situation.
That's right. And here in chapter 14, where they're loosing the 144,000, they're sealing their names on in their head that they belong to God, and nothing can harm them, nobody can touch them while they're preaching the gospel to those left on this earth, especially of the tribe of the 12 tribes, because there are 12,000 from each tribe that are going out to preach the gospel here, and nothing can harm these 144,000. Well, here in the middle of chapter 14, it says, and another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, so here is an angel. His specific duty is to bring salvation. And if you have loved ones out there who do not know Father God, you can ask for that angel with the eternal gospel, that gospel of salvation, to go to your loved ones and preach to them. He will preach in their ears.
No, son, Barbara, I just realized why the Lord has not enlightened me to that angel that controls fire before now. You know, in traffic, I would have toasted some guy that cut me off. I'd have called down fire from heaven, just sure as the world.
Like some of those apostles said of Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven?
Should we call down fire? Well, maybe someday I'll grow up enough to where God can trust me with the angel of fire here, but I think it is so exciting. This is real, real stuff that's going to happen, can happen, and will happen.
That's right. So our angels are not done away with. They are still working for us, and they will be mightier in their working as the world comes to an end. This angel who has the eternal gospel, he says loudly, fear God and give him glory. Oh, what great advice, Darren. Fear God, not the enemy. Fear God and give him glory. And that word fear means revere God, honor God, respect.